everybody, Shavua Tov. We're nearing the end of Chodesh Tishrei. The month has been filled with much meaning, inspiration, the process of tshuva, that is a hallmark of Tishrei, heightens our awareness of the power of our actions. Everything that we do, however large or small, can have a dramatic effect on ourselves and our surroundings. The famous rabbi of the tshuva, Paragimel, who describes the shofar, the wake-up call, goes on to tell us that every person should view himself as well as the entire world as perfectly balanced between merits and demerits. The Rambam says, "L'fichach tzarech kol adam sheyira atzmo kol hashana kula ki l'chetzi zakei l'chetzi chayi." L'chein kol ha'olam chetzi zakei l'chetzi chayi. The whole world is perfectly balanced. Chatoch et echad harichriyas atzmo des kol ha'olam kula kav chol v'avigor lo hashkasa. One mitzvah can shift the balance in a positive direction, leading to salvation for oneself and the entire world. One avera, on the other hand, leads oneself along with the entire world down a path of destruction. The notion of a world slated for destruction because of the accumulation of sin is, of course, part of the storyline at the end of Parshas Bereishis into Parshas Noach. Parshas Bereishis concludes with a description of a world gone awry, morally astray. Hashem declares his intent to wipe away man, animal, beast, fowl from the face of the earth. In Parshas Noach, of course, this threat becomes an unfortunate reality. A devastating marvel is brought upon the earth. The only survivors are Noah, his family, and the wildlife that he managed to bring with him, he's instructed to bring with him into the Teva. In the aftermath of the Mabul, Hashem provides a guarantee that he will never again bring destruction of this magnitude to the entire world. This will never happen again. Yeshayahu HaNavi, in the Nevuah that we're going to read in the Haftorah of this coming Shabbos, Parshas Noach, refers to this reassurance as a promise, as an oath. And as you will see, Yeshayahu Navi, this Nevuah, utilizes this promise to offer comfort to Klal Yisrael as well. What I'd like to do with you today is explore the nature of this promise, to delve into its significance. And as we will see, Bezras Hashem, there's tremendous lessons here for us, lessons of Chizuk, that help us to sustain the spiritual momentum of Tishrei as we move into the month of Maheshvan and the months ahead. So first of all, let's try to pinpoint the specific oath, the specific shvua that's being referenced here in the pasuk of Yeshaya, Asher Nishbati Me'avor Me'Noach. Where do we find this shvua that was offered Makadosh Baruch Hu to Noach never to, again to bring a marble? When Noach exits the Teva, he offers karbanos from all the kosher animals and beasts that he had in the Teva, and the birds as well. All of this arouses Hashem's mercy. And the pasuk then states, if you follow here in the source sheet, Vayorach Hashem esfeach v'nitoach, Hashem smelled, as it were, the sweet aroma. Vayomer Hashem el libo, Hashem said to his heart, interesting expression. Lo osik l'kal odes ha'adam ha'bavur ha'adam, ki yetzer yev ha'adam rami n'urav, lo osim o l'akris et kochai kasher asisi. So Hashem says, I will never again curse the earth based on man's deeds. This is the nature of man, to do what's wrong, and I have to accept that. And again, below Osif Oda Hakos Eskochai, I won't strike all living creatures as I've done. This is a sort of a guarantee that Hashem says, states, or thinks, how to know, Vayom Hashem El Libo, which seems to declare his intention that he will not do what he just did ever again. Never again wreak such destruction upon the world. That's one reference that we should keep in mind when we think about the promise that was given not to bring another marble. Now, further on in the parasha, Hashem enters into a formal covenant with Noach, a Bris, and he uses the rainbow, the Keshes, as a sign of this covenant. And in this context, this promise is reiterated with different language, a little further on in your sheets. So, twice mentioned this pasuk, the fact that Hashem says, as part of the Bris, that all flesh shall no longer ever again be cut off from the water of the Mabul, there will never be another Mabul. Then we find, a few pasukim later, once again, in a similar formulation, So here we have three phrases where Hashem again states, part of the covenant with Noah, that there will not be another marble of water to destroy the world. So we have to figure out exactly where do we find, among all these various sitting, the Shvua that was being referenced by Yeshayahu HaNabi in the pasuk that we began with, Hashem Nishbati Ne'abor Mei Noah. There are various explanations and various suggestions which I'd like to go over with you and to take it to another level in terms of its significance. Rabbeinu Bachye, here in Parshas Noach, says an interesting thing. Yesh Lefarish, he writes, that the Shvua is not that you have to find an actual word Shvua or Bris or something of that nature and say that's the promise. The promise is the fact that Hashem said that this is what I'm doing. The word nasati, it's kashi nasati ve'anan, nasati, it's as if it would say nishbati. Matzah Hashem is barach ba'amir belvad, harei kayem es kishvua. Hashem's word is tantamount to a shvua, and he proves this in the fact that Hashem has promised the land to the avos, to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you have the expression, yeh lezarecha nasati es ha'aretz hazos, and we find this is referred to as a shvua. So the Ben Bakri counts the Amira of Hashem, the words Hashem says, I have done this, I have given it to you, as if it would be saying, I have tried. And so it is over here as well. And this is the basis of the Ben Bakri of the Pasuk of Yeshayahu, Kiminor Ksoshi Hashem Ishbati, where is there a Lashon Shvua? The Lashon Shvua is what we have here when Hashem says, this is what I'm giving you, as the sign, Nasati, this is like it would say Nishbati. This is Rabbeinu Bachya. The Radak in Yeshaya has a very different shot. Says the Radak, Shvuas Noach, because it says a couple of times in that pasuk, notes twice, really sort of reference. Lo yikaris kobasa od miyamabo, lo yod mabo ishachis kobasa. So he quotes this in the Gemara Shvuas, which we'll soon see. But then the Radak suggests an alternative shot. Yesh lefarish ki avris ki hashvua. Kimosha amar v'kimosi esvisi itchem v'avris hu kiyum hadavar v'chim shvul kiyum hadavar. What is shvua? What is bris? They're very interchangeable. Even though sometimes we find in the language of the tefillah, we ask Hashem to remember the bris and the shvua. But obviously the ideas are very, very closely related. For the Radak, it's the fact that Hashem entered a covenant with Noah, with the sign of the Keshes, as corroborating that bris, that is the Shvua. The Shvua is the bris, and that's the meaning of the pasuk of Nishbati Ne'abor Mei Noach. Now, the Radak, as we saw, also mentioned the Gemara Shvua, so this is another way to think about what the Shvua is. The Gemara Shvua says the following, Amar Rav Elazar, Lav Shvua Hein Shvua. If a person says, with a negative expression, I will not do something, or in a positive way, I will do something, that's equal to a shvua. The Gemara says, where do we get that from? Lav shvua, because the pasuk is lo yod amayim lemabul, and the Torah and the pasuk Yeshayahu refers to this as a shvua. So you see that Hashem stating lo yod amayim lemabul is a shvua. Where do we know? Hen shvua, says the Gemara, if lav is a shvua, hen is a shvua. But then Rava comes along and says, it's not enough to say what. You can't just say, I will not do something, and you're bound as if it would be a shvur. Says Rabba, it's only if you repeat it twice. Similarly, by the hain, if you say hain twice, but I will do something, then it's canceled the shvur. How do we know this? So here we have many gifin girsos in the Gemara. The girsa that appears here on the sheets in front of us, dirsiv. V'lo yikareis kol basar od mimei hamavu. V'lo yiyod hamayin lemavu. So there are two references of lav. Now notice which psukim are quoted here. Notice the first two references that we found in connection to when a Noah bought a carbon, that's not appearing in our text of Gemara. That's for some reason not mentioned as the double lav. Rather, he takes one phrase from pasuk yud aleph, parakas pasuk yud aleph, b'lo yikaris kol basa ol mimei hamavu. But notice, where does he go from there? He goes to pasuk tesvav, b'lo yod hamayim hamavu l'shaches kol basa. Actually, no. So here it says b'lo yod hamayim hamavu. So this is the gears that we have. We're only taking the first two, not the third. But here you get into a lot of other yourselves, and the Rush and the Riff, as you can see, a long reference from the Rush, just to look quickly at what the Rush has to say about this. The Rush quotes this Gemara, Amar Rav, Abud Amar Rav, Rav Trey Zimdi, Lo Osib, now notice what he says, Lo Osib Ol Lahakos Kochai. Now where's that? That's the Pasuk in connection to the Karim that Noah brought. That's the first Rav. V'lo Yeod Hamayim Lamabu. Where's that? That's the second lav of Pasuk Yud Aleph. That's the gears of the Rosh initially quotes. And then it says, Asher Nishbati Me'avor Mei Noach. Then that's what he brings from the Rif. Then he says, I found in my Gemaras two different psukim. And what do I find? V'lo yikoriz hobasa od nimei hamavol, v'lo yeod hamayim l'mavol. So that's what we read in the Gemara. That's the psukim, that pasuk yud aleph, which mentions the two lavs that are the first references in connection to the bris of the keshes. Says the Rosh, I don't like either girsa. Why? The Emir Ali, not the girsa that I originally quoted, and not the girsa or the girsa that I mentioned, or the girsa that I originally quoted from the Rif. Rather, says the Rosh, what I think the Gemara was quoting was the psukim that are mentioned when Noah built in the Zbeah and Ofer the Karba, and there you find twice in that pasuk a reference to Hashem saying, I will no longer do what I just did. Lo osif ol l'kalas adama, lo osif ol hakos es kochai. And explains why these are the psukim we should use. Noah did not want to have children at this point until Hashem gave him this reassurance. Hashem says he can go out with your wife and have children, and I give you this promise as stated in the pasuk Lo Osu and Lo Osu. As far as the other psukim are concerned, Lo Yikaris Lo Yod Amayim Mabo, that says the Rosh is not a shvua at all, it's Sipur Dvarim. It's just a way of Hashem saying that when you see the keshes, so you know that Hashem has no longer felt anger toward the world, he will not destroy the world. Says the Rosh, I'll prove it to you, because over there you really have not two references to Lav, but three. You have the two references in pasuk Yod Aleph, plus you have the pasuk in pasuk Tezvav, if so, we should require three times, and two should be insufficient. Must be, or if you want to add the first two, then you should require five times. The Rosh should say la 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 la. So it must be, says the Rosh, that we're only counting the first two. Byom Hashem Elivo, that was the Shvua, and as far as the others, they don't count. This also seems to be the position of Rashi, Rashi and Chumash. Rashi comments on Lo Osif v'Lo Osif. Kofel Adavar L'Shvua, Hu Shekas V'Hashem Shbati Me'avor Me'Noach, V'Lo Matzina V'Shvua Elezu, Shekofel Dvara, V'Hi Shvua V'Chein Darshu Chachan Mitzat L'Shvua. Rashi quotes the first references. So it's interesting. We have all these possibilities to understand where do we find the Shvua that Hashem promised Noach not to bring another Mabul. All these possibilities, mixing and matching, or working with the earlier references, the later references. I saw a very interesting suggestion in the name of the Brisker Rav, actually, to account for perhaps why we might need all of these references, at least most or all of them, based on the Gemara Tzvachim. The Gemara Tzvachim tells us that the story about the Torah, where everybody gathered on Bilam and wondering why there was such a commotion in the world, perhaps there's another Mabul that's come against the world. That's what they were worried about. So he told them and he reassured them that Hashem will no longer bring a Mabul as he promised. So then they asked Bilam, maybe the promise was limited to a Mabul Shalmayim, but what about a Mabul, a destruction of some other nature through fire? Let's talk in today's terms, nuclear war that could destroy Chas V'Shalom, the entire world. Where do we know that that cannot happen? So how do we know Mabul Shel Eish? Shenemar, that if Eish Hashem can judge the world with fire, says Bilam to them, Farnizbash in a Mashiz Tovasa. And then it goes on to talk about, so what is it? It's the Torah. So you see that there's a shvua that Hashem promised not to destroy the world with Mayim. There's also a shvua that Hashem promised not to destroy the world to any other means. Now if you look back at the psukim that we noticed, so the psukim that appear in connection to the rainbow all speak about destruction through Mayim. For example, the pasuk, the first pasuk that appears, pasuk Yud Aleph, and the pasuk concludes Lo Yeod Mabul Shachis Aretz. But we just talked about Mei Hamabul, so obviously referring to the water. So it is in the pasuk that follows, the pasuk Tesvav, pasuk afterwards Lo Yeod Hamayim Mabul. So these promises, if you call that a promise, refer to specifically a Mabul of Mayim. However, if you look earlier, in connection to Noach's carbon, doesn't mention Mayim at all. It says, Lo Osi, Kaladis Adam, Abor Adam, Lo Osi, Lo Gahakos, Lo Sokai. It doesn't talk about Mayim. And that's according to Rashi, what would have been the Shua, according to the Rashi as well, and that's not limited to Mayim. Now, of course, the Biskei Rebbe asks, so then what do you need the Psukim about Mayim? If you have Psukim earlier that speak about any type of mind. And then he has another pshat that connects to halacha of hafaras nidarim, and he wants to say that this is a difference between the first reference, which is Hashem speaking el libo, not to Noach, in which case the hafara could have been done more readily based on the nidarim, whereas the later pasuk, which was to Noach, makes it harder to annul the neder, and therefore there is an affinity between the promises of Hashem not to bring another Mabul of Mayim and the promises of Hashem not to bring a Mabul of any sort. And therefore, he creatively works out that all the psukim are accounted for in terms of the promise not to bring another Mabul. Okay, so much for the technical aspect of this issue as far as where we find the promise not to bring another Mabul and what was the nature of that promise in terms of the way that Hashem said he would not destroy the world. But I'd like to focus on this issue now from a more fundamental perspective in terms of the inspiration that this can help us with. Namely, what does it say exactly in that pasuk in Yeshayahu? Yeshayahu tells us that I have promised not to bring another Mabul, and so too Yeshayahu goes on and uses that as a basis to comfort Klal Yisrael. I want to understand exactly what that means. In order to do that, let's look at some other sources that seem to reference the idea that Hashem is not going to destroy the world at the time of Noah, and Hashem says, I want the world to continue. So not too long ago, we had the davening of Rosh Hashanah, and in that davening, we had a tefillah of Zichronos. Zichronos in Musaf speaks about Hashem remembering how Hashem remembers so much, there's nothing that's lost, nothing that's forgotten. And we bring a whole string of psukim, of course, as we do with Malchus and Shofos as well, beginning with Torah, then we go to Ksuvim, then the Vim, and we finally come back to Torah. So the lead pasuk in Zichronos is a pasuk from Parshas Noach. And this pasuk is introduced with a very interesting preamble, as you can see in your sheets. Just to remind you, if you don't remember it from the davening, okay? Says the pasuk, Began is Noach, the Ahava Zacharta. And also Noach, you have remembered him with love. But Tifkideyu Vidbar Yeshua Barachanim. You have, again, remembered him with, and let's really focus and hone in on this expression, with a word, you might say, or the matter of Yeshua and Rachanim, salvation and mercy. When you brought the word of the Mabul to destroy your flesh, because of the evil deeds. Al Kain Tefonabo Fanaf Hashem Al Kain, therefore his remembrance has come before you, Ahab Zarukat Oskevel, to increase his progeny as the dust of the world, it sets up the Koyam and his progeny like the sand of the sea. As the Pasuk says, and here we quote a Pasuk which is earlier in the Pasha, before we actually get to Hashem expressing it in some way that the Pasuk states, I will not bring another marble, but it's hinting to it. Vayisko Kibes Noach, Hashem remembered Noach and the beasts and the animals that were with him, and Hashem causes a spirit, a wind, to pass over the earth, and the water subsides. So something is happening now, something of a turning point in the story that is very much of a milestone that we're trying to reference here in terms of Zechronos. Hashem remembered Noah. Now this remembrance, again, is prefaced, or the reference to this remembrance is prefaced with the fact that Hashem remembered Noah bidvar Yeshua b'rachamim. I want to hold that expression and try to understand it, because it appears again at the end of Zechronos when we close the bracha with a wish that Hashem should remember us. We once again use such an expression. You can see also the same source. Okay, we have a seinu. Zachreinu b'zikaron tov ufalecha ufabdeinu b'kudas Yeshua b'rachamim. You should remember us. We want to be remembered with a remembrance of Yeshua b'rachamim, which is again that same combination of words that we used earlier when it says we remembered Noach b'dvar Yeshua b'rachamim. Here we add Mishmei Shmei Keder from the ancient heavens. So exactly what is the significance of using this expression, this peering of the word Yeshua and Rachamim, both in connection to Noach himself, that you remembered Noach, the Kudas Yeshua Rachamim, how we ask Hashem to remember us with a remembrance of Yeshua Rachamim, and we add to that, we append to that, the fact that it was from way back when, Mishmei Shmei Keder. Exactly what does that mean? Let's also point out that that same expression appears elsewhere in our tefillah, and we said it many times over Yantif, at the end of Yala V'Yavo. How does Yala V'Yavo conclude? After we say Yala, Yavo, Yagia, Yeroi, Yorze, Shamei, Pake, right, all those expressions of remembrance, then we say, Zachrein Hashem again, Bo, Talbah, Fabem, Bo, Rachav Hashem, Bo, Chai. And then we're not finished. Then we say, Uvidvar, Yeshua, Barachamim, with a fire shield rachamim, you should have compassion on us and save us. So again, that expression reappears, reemerges. And here too, we wonder, what is this extra request that we're asking? We've already asked for so many ways Hashem should remember us, and that our remembrance and that of Mashiach and Yerushalayim and Amcha Beis Yisrael should emerge and be elevated and be brought to the highest places, right? And then we ask Hashem, remember us, the Tovah, and so on. And then, as if we're not finished, as if to say, there's something more after everything. And remember again the context of the Shmei Shmei Keder. So how can we put this together? Apparently, there's another level of mercy that goes beyond typical mercy. And that's where Yeshua Barachamim comes in. Now the Avod Ram, who's famous, one of the Yishomim, who's famous for commenting on tefillah and the phraseology of tefillah, wants to understand the nature of these expressions that we have here when we introduce the Pasuk of Yisrael Kimes Noach. Notice how he takes every phrase and he connects it to other psukim. So he says, V'gamas Noach bi'ahava zacharta. Right. And Noah as well, he would have remembered him with love, says the Avod Ram, right? The Pasuk that we're about to quote, by Yitzchok Kibbutz Noah, after Zacharta. And what to be Ahava? Because the Pasuk says at the end of Bereshis, Noah matzachem b'enei Hashem, so to find favor in Hashem's eyes is to say Hashem loves you. Fine. So we have the Ahava corresponding to Noah matzachem, we have the Zacharta corresponding to Yitzchok Kibbutz Noah. Continues the Avod Ram. Where do these two words come from? Why are we choosing to pair these words together here? What do we have in mind? Yeshua, our shame, based on the pasuk in Tehillim, Adam ubehema toshia Hashem. Man and animal, you will save Hashem will save Adam u'Behema. So this Yeshua reminds us of the idea that Hashem saves Adam u'Behema. We say that in Tzitkas HaTzedek, as we know. I don't know if we said it yesterday. It depends if Yeshua's minhag is to say Tachlin after Sukkot till Rosh Chodesh, but I doubt if they said it. But you know what it is regardless. Adam u'Behema Toshia Hashem. Interesting. That's the Yeshua. Okay, obviously we can connect that to the story of Noah. Noah had him, the human beings, and he had animals. So Adam v'Tishia Hashem, that's Yeshua. What's the Rachamim? How does that connect here? It says the Abad Ram, Al Shem Shekasu Gadi Mei Noach, Amar Merachamim Hashem. You see that Pasuk in Yeshayahu that we began with, and I believe that you have it referenced here as well. If you go back a little bit, and let's actually look at the whole Pasuk. This is going to try to bring the issue to sharper focus. Pasuk Tes in Terek Nundal in Yeshayahu, Ki Mei Noach Dos Mi, Hashem Nishbati Me'abor Mei Noach Oda La'aretz, Ke Nishbati Mitzok Olayach Mi'go'or Bach. The waters of Noach that I swore never to bring those waters again on the world, so have I sworn never to get angry at you again. Okay. Continue the next passage. Ki ha'arim yamushu ba'agos l'mutena. The mountains, the hills may falter. The chazki may itech lo yamush. My kindness from you will not cease. Uvish shalom ilo samut. My covenant of peace will not falter. Amar meracha mei Hashem. Who said this? Hashem, who has mercy on you. Says the Abad Ram, Yeshua berachan. Hashem, you have remembered Noach the Ahava, but if you did, by Yeshua berachan. What comes to mind? Yeshua, Adam u'Behema Toshia Hashem. What comes to mind? Rachamim? Amar merachamei Hashem. That reference is connected to the pasuk that tells us in Yeshayahu, I have promised not to bring another marble, so have I promised not to ever get angry at you again. You can feel my mercy, you can feel comforted. So somehow or other, this Yeshua Barachamim is coming, bringing us back to the Pasuk Yeshayahu and the sense that Hashem's mercy is tremendous, and He will show us mercy, and we have nothing to worry about. Hashem is on our side. Somehow this connects to the oath that Hashem said, I am not going to bring another marvel on the world. What is the connection between one and the other? Why does the promise not to destroy the world again serve or double in some way as also a shvua, what's the shekh? And why do we therefore obviously connect a Rosh Hashanah to this promise, or to what preceded the promise? The precursor of the promise is by Yisto Kimis Noach. Right? That's the turning point of the story, which got expressed later on when Hashem tells Noach and promises to Noach, I'm not bringing another marble. But the turning point is by Yisto Kimis Noach, that Hashem decides, okay, there's going to be a future. What do we make of this? It's interesting to note that it's not just the Pasuk Yeshayah. Even if you don't know Pasuk Yeshayahu, we usually sing Zmiros on Shabbos. And we might know this from one of the stanzas in Zmiros. One of the famous Zmiros that sung on Shabbos Day is called Yom Shabbos of Ein Yishkoach. Who authored this Zemer? Yehuda Levi. Yehuda is the classic. So Yehuda Levi, the famous poet of Yehuda Levi, the author of the Kuzari, in the fifth stanza, which is Hey, the stanza reads, Ha'am Hashem Na, Chatzom Ta'a, the nation that's been moving in exile, like we have another Nod, like Hayin, when it's always in transit, and straying like a sheep. Yes, Kakarisa, we've had a lot of transition in our life, we've been in a lot of different places, we've been in exile. Yes, Karla Fakto Bisishwa, he will remember to take account and remember Karisa with Bisishwa, with Val Yavrabo Mikreba, so that Karisa will not experience suffering, bad occurrences. So Hashem is going to take care of us, of His nation. This nation that has suffered so much in Golus will ultimately be saved. And how does he conclude the sentence? Kasher Yishbata Al Mei Noach. This, of course, is a play on the whole refrain of this song, which is Yona Matza Vo Manoach, which means, of course, that Kal Yisrael, who compared to a dove, have found on Shabbos day rest. But of course, he's the poetic license here is the pasuk of the Lo Matza Hayona Manoach, the Chafragla, the Yona that Noach sent out, did not find rest when it went to find something that maybe showed that the world had dried up and so on, and came right back. So now Yona, probably so much about Manoach, and here he comes back to Parshas Noach in the last stanza. But what does it mean? Hashem assures this nation that we're not going to suffer forever. He'll take care of us. Hashem Ishbata Manoach. Where does the lady get it from? Obviously, he got it from the pasuk in Yeshayahu, which stated that just as I promised not to bring another Mabul, so have I promised Miksof Laiach Migova. What is it? Now the Radak takes it in the following way. He says, I promise not to bring another Mabul, and it's an irreversible promise. It's going to be, it's going to remain intact. So too, I have promised that after you leave Golos, I'm never going to put you in Golos again. So it's a way of saying that it's like a new promise. But perhaps we can explain it differently. Perhaps, as we're now going to see, the very promise itself that Hashem told Noah, whoever that is, that there's not going to be another Mabul, that serves as our assurance as well that we remain a eternal nation to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, treasured and precious in His eyes. And that's why we're using this Vayisko Kiddush Noach, this pasuk in Zechronos, and that's why we use the expression Yeshua Berachamim, that goes back to that pasuk in Yeshayahu, and we once again come back to it at the end of Zechronos and say, remember us, with Kudas Yeshua Berachamim. In order to understand this, let's step back to the beginning of the parsha and notice a Rashi. The pasuk states earlier in Parshas Noach, "Ani hinu nevi es ha-mabul malim al ha'aretz." Hashem states His intention to bring a mabul, and He prefaces it with "Va'ani," and I am prepared to bring a mabul to destroy all flesh. What's the significance of the word "Va'ani," and I? Rashi comments based on the Medrash, "Va'ani hinani," really from either from the Bav of Va'ani or from the Hinani, but different versions focus on different parts of this expression. Here's Rashi as follows: "Hinni muchan rahaskin im osam shezerzuni ba'amru fanai kvar ma'enosh kisus kirenu." There were, at the time that man was created, the malachim were very much against this creation of man. And the pasuk in Tehillim puts the words in the Malachim's mouth, saying, "Ma'enosh kisus kirenu." Why bother? This project is doomed to fail. Man is prone to do averos. It's not worth it. Don't invest in humanity. There is no basis to have them in the world. They're not worth being created. And Hashem disagreed. Obviously, Hashem from Yachol created the world, created man. Now Hashem is telling Noah, I'm about to destroy the world. I'm about to destroy Kol Basar. Va'ani, me too. Right? I too, I am on board with those other voices who dissented at the time that created man. I've come around to recognize in me that I'm with them. There's no point of having humanity in this world. That is, and that is the statement of Va'ani in me, maybe. Says the Ramban, I don't understand this comment of Rashi. Asks the Ramban, after quoting Rashi from the Medrash, Ani Tama, Hech Maskin Imayim. How can this pasuk serve as an indication that Hashem is going along with the voices that said, "Don't create you human beings in the world"? After all, Hu Mashalem She'eris LePleita Gedola LeNoach Ubana LeChol Chai LeHabel Zarim Kachol. How can Hashem be saying, I'm finished with humanity, I'm finished with Kol Basar, I wanted this, they don't belong here in the world. But the very same communication to Noah is telling Noah, build a teva, bring animals with you into the teva, bring chayos with you into the teva, bring ofos with you into the teva. Presumably the purpose of all this is in order to continue the line of humanity, of the animals, and so on. So how can you learn Shabbat? I mean, he may be means Hashem to come through
not belong in this world, the very same communication to Noah is suggesting and implying that there's going to be a continuity. That's Ramban's question. So what would we have to say in defense of Rashi? I would argue as follows. There's a difference between saying, Noah, go into the Teva, save yourself, save your family, and saying, Noah, I agree that you're going to have children and you can continue the human race. For all we know, Noah could go in the Teva, he'll be saved from the Mabul, he'll live to whatever ripe old age he'll live, and that's it, and then he'll disappear from the earth and there'll be nobody left, and so it is with his children. After all, when he went into the Teva, they were forbidden to engage in conjugal family relations, so if there's not going to be any action taken to allow for the perpetuation of the species, and naturally, they're going to become extinct, right? Because all that's left is Noah and his family. So to the animals. Right now, Hashem says, look, you take the animals with you, take whatever the soon will be. But right now, take them in. There is no indication in the Psukim at this point that there's meant to be a continuity. Noah, for whatever merit you have and your merit of the animals with you, you can be saved from the Mabul, the Seder. But as far as Hashem's Nida right now, his attribute, that should there be a continuity, we haven't yet stated. The one exception, which I believe is quite intriguing, is the Pasuk referring to the oath. Where the Pasuk actually does say, when it talks about bringing in the oath, the birds, into the Teva, says the Pasuk, Gam Me'of HaShemayim Shiva Shiva Zachar Nekeva L'chayo Zera Pnei Kol HaAretz. And I don't have a very good shot necessarily, something to think about, but it does state that as far as the birds, the purpose already now is stated to bring them in order to continue the species of Oth, the Chaya Zer. But that's specific to Oth. When it comes to Behema and Chaya, and when it comes to Noach, I think the point is still well taken. Bani Hinni maybe. I'm through with all of that. And it's only at a later point that things change. At another point in the storyline, another Nida arises, and that Nida is now going to justify the continuity of the line of Noah, of mankind, of the Behemos, and the Chayos. And that is the Pasuk that we reference in Zechronos. And it's interesting to notice what the Pasuk says. Vayizkor Elokim es Noah, ve'ezko achaya, ve'ezko ha-behema asher ito la-teva. And what's mentioned and what's not mentioned? Oath is not mentioned, and according to my suggestion, that's because oath already, there was already the plan that that should continue. But where did things change? It changed vis-a-vis Noach, it changed vis-a-vis the Chaya and the Behemah. Until now, we were from the mindset of, Hinni, maybe I'm through with that. Okay, now you're at the Teva, you're in the Teva, but we don't yet know and have an indication that there should be a continuity. But during this turning point in the story that we're invoking in Zechronos, Vayizkor es Noach, now something is changing. What's the nature of this change? And this idea emerges from the Ramban himself, although the Ramban doesn't carry it over to Noach, but he basically says what would be the answer, I think, for Rashi in terms of Noach as well. The Ramban addresses the question on that pasuk. How do we understand Vayizkor es Noach based on Chai v'Sol Be'er? Says Ramban. Remembering Noach, we understand what that means. Askira b'Noach, Mishayit Tzadik Kami. The chorus will be Sgat Silo. Hashem recognizes Noach as a tzadik. Hashem made a bris with him. I'm going to save you. Hashem remembered Noach with what to remember. However, and that includes his children, the Seder. What about the Chayla and the Behema? They didn't do anything to earn Hashem's remembrance. They don't have free will. So how can the pasuk say Hashem remembered the Chayla and the Behema? It's not like they can do mitzvos or averos. Says the Ramban, and this is, I think, a very profound idea regarding what it means to say Hashem remembered Noah, remember the animals. So the Ramban is focusing on the animals. Haskira b'hem ki zachar es divar kadsho she'amar v'haya ha'olam. What is emerging right now is a nida that goes back to the creation of the world. Hashem remembered His holy word that He spoke, so to speak, Basar Mamaros Nivra Ha'olam, Bayom Elohim, and He willed it, and there was a world. The Ha'ratzon Hashelo B'Briyas Ha'olam, that primordial will, that original point that Hashem willed there to be a world, and with that, the world came to existence. Allah Lefanav. that emerges before Hashem Kibayachal, the Ratsa B'Kium HaOlam B'Min Masha Barabo. He willed that the world should continue to exist with all the various species that he created. And now he wants them to come out, that they shouldn't remain in the Teva indefinitely and simply wither away. Says Ramban, that's the meaning of Kla'achaya V'Kla'Behema. Ramban himself says Oph is included, though doesn't state it. According to our suggestion, Oph didn't have to be stated because there was already an agenda earlier to continue the species of Oph. But the Ramban doesn't focus on Noach because for him, Noach already had a spear. Perhaps for Rashi, and as we're saying now for the Mavzer, this is the turning point for everybody, not just the Behem and Achai, but also for Noach. Until now, we don't have the emergence of a Liga HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or re-emergence of a Liga HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to continue the species of the human race. Until now, we are at the point of Ani Hini Nevi Yisam Abumayim, I'm through. But the turning point and the harbinger of the promise to Noach comes in the form of a Yiskar Okinas Noach. If you look carefully now at the language of the Mafsa, we see how beautifully the language captures this idea. The Mafsa states, "Vigan es noch de abba zacharta," and we use the expression Yeshua Barachamim, as we again pointed out, this goes to speaks to the promise, the Shvua of Hashem to Noach that there will be no longer another Mavo ever again. Mishach Maviach es nian Mavo, Mishach es kovaser, Al Kain. His remembrance emerged before you, Hashem, the harvest Zaro Ka'atos Kedo. This, by Yisro Kines Noach, brings with it the desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be a continuity to the world. He's pushing back against the Malachim. And he says, there should be a continuity. Mainos, this is Kerenu. No, no, it's worth it. We're investing, we're reinvesting in Adam, and there's going to be a continuity. This is what we want to invoke in Zechronos. We want to invoke this Nida that emerged at the time of Briyas HaOlam, that had been covered up and concealed and recessed all this time of the Mabul. And now the turning point of the story, I'm just going to this Noach, that once again, we want to have a continuity to the human race. Why do we ask for this on our behalf? And why does this Shavua, that again is the manifestation of a Yisro Kimis Noach, as we're saying, how does this Shavua serve us? The answer is because of another Ramban. The Ramban is in Parashas Hazinu. Go a couple of sources ahead, we'll come back to the ones that we skipped over. Parshas Hazinu, which we read not too long ago, sometimes in Shabbat Tshuva, in years like this year, it's between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. It's always in the season of Tshuva, which is a very important time of year. And Hazinu is one of those parshas that have so much depth to them that you could literally spend years and years studying. Those words are hard just on the simple pshat level, but the ideas are even more profound. But the basic upshot of the story is that describing how at the end of days things look very, very dismal for Jewish people, for Klal Yisrael. They've done averos and they're getting punished with all kinds of terrible suffering. The nations of the world are attacking and they're gloating over how they've been punishing Klal Yisrael in all kinds of ways. And it looks like there's no hope. Nobody's there to intervene on our behalf. And at some point in the story, when things seem like they can't get any worse, at that point Hashem says, I can't let this continue. Hashem says, after all, the nations, they don't mean the same Shemayim. They are looking at it as their prowess, their coaching prowess. They are taking credit for this. Basically, what we call Chil Hashem. Hashem's reputation is on the line. And Hashem feels that there is no recourse except to intervene on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And that's the basic idea that emerges between the lines of the Psukim. The Ramban, in his eloquent language, tries to explain what this means, and if we really look at how he expresses it, I think we'll be able to come back and understand how this connects to us. The Ramban, here, the reference that I gave you from Perek Aleph Beis, Pasuk Chav, Vav, talks about this concept of how, based on Midas Hadin, there should be no answer to get us out of ghosts. Because Midas Hadin says, strict justice demands that things have to be according to what should be, and therefore we don't deserve to be redeemed, so be it. However, there's another dimension there, and that's what's mentioned many times in Yechezkel, and that is Hashem's reputation. We speak about this in Hoshanah as well. Save yourself. Your own reputation is on the line. What does that mean exactly? In Pesukim Yechezkel, we iterate this many times, Aman Shemi, and so on. Says Ramban, what does that really mean? Hashem needs to prove himself. Doesn't need to prove himself. He can do what he wants anyway. But the answer is, and the key words are, Hashem bara es ha'adam v'tachtonim sheyakir es boro v'yod l'shmo. Hashem created the world, human beings in this world, in order that they acknowledge and recognize their Creator. And they thank Hashem for their existence. A person has free will. When humanity sinned and they denied Hashem, so there is really no one left that continues to hold, you know, that baton of believing in Hashem and making that message clear for everybody. The only people that in some way are holding on to that message are the Klal Yisrael. And if Klal Yisrael that disappears, then all those miracles that are meant to bring Hashem's name out into the world for everybody to recognize and acknowledge would be lost. Nobody would talk about it. It would just be considered a fluke of nature or whatever. And as a result, tia kavana sabriya ba'adam b'tevel gamri. The purpose of creation would have been completely negated. Nobody would be left except those who are close to Hashem and not living according to the basic standards of what's expected of human beings. And here comes the key words of the Ramban, the Alkein. And this is why Hashem must intervene on our behalf. Alkein, ba'oi, midin haratzon shahaya b'vriyas ha'ola. By virtue of that will, remember those were the words the Ramban used when he describes v'yizko kim eskol chayu eskol behema. By virtue of that ratzon, that primordial will, that Hashem wanted the world to exist and come into existence, that it should also be, at the same time, his will should be, that there should be a Jewish people that will remain in the world forever. They are most intimate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're the ones that are invested in. They're the ones that carry the banner of what Hashem means as the God, as sovereign, as Hashem, without Klal Yisrael, there's no point that the world continues. I think this is the secret to Zechronos. What the Ramban has taught us here is that the very idea that Hashem created a world, and the world has a purpose, and the justification of the world has to be based on that human beings acknowledge that there's a creator in the world, and can thank him, and acknowledge his existence. And without that possibility, the world has no purpose. If that's true, then the same justification for creating the world can also serve for justifying the continuity of the Jewish people.
So what's the difference between that and Malchus?
Everything is interrelated. All the themes of Rosh Hashanah are interrelated. But the Zechronos is meant to bring out those, provoke those special touch points of history that refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembering. So most of the Chronos, if not except for this one, are about Hashem remembering the Jewish people, the witness Zion, the Zachariti, and the Shonin, and all the various references that speak about Klal Yisrael. Our question was, why is this first one, the lead reference, about us? Why are we making a big deal, about a big fuss about Noach, and remembering Noach, and we come back and ask again, the Yeshua Barachamim? And the answer is, because it's that very remembrance of Hashem remembering Noach, which as we're explaining in light of the Ramban in Parshas Noach, which is the will of Hashem to create a world. That's what reemerges at the time of Yisro Kinnas Noach. It's that very promise that allows us to feel comforted and sure that we will continue. So this is why we make a big fuss about that pasuk, and we introduce it with the expression Yeshua Barachamim, which again remind us of the promise of Amam Rachamim Hashem, And if we understand this, we can understand Yahweh Viyago now. Let's go back to the reference of Yahweh Viyago. After so many references of remembrance, Yahweh, 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 and then we say, what is added at that point? To remember the expression, Yishmei Shmei Kedem. Why do we use that expression at the end of Zechronos? Remember us with Yeshua Barakamim, Yishmei Shmei Kedem. Yishmei Shmei Kedem means we're reminding ourselves of something even beyond the normal channels of mercy, going back to the point of creation. There is a Gra. The Gra famously said, it's printed in a few different places, in the Siddur and other places, that the various expressions of Yala Biyavo, Yala, Yavo, Yagia, Yiroya, Yiratza, Yishama, Yipokit, Yizacher. Yipokit, Yizacher counts as one. That gives us seven expressions of remembrance. Yala, Yavo, Yagia, three. Yiroya, Yiratza, Yishama, six. Yipokit, Yizacher, seven. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us that there are seven heavens and each one has a name. Dilon, Rakia, Shchakim, Zbul, Ma'on, Machon, Arabs. Says the Gemara, we don't have time to go through how it lines up, but he says these seven expressions correspond to the seven heavens. And then, if that's the case, let's suggest that after going through that, we go even further. And we say, V'dvar Yishuv Rachamim. This is after seven heavens, we're going back to a point even above that. We're going to a point of what we call Shmei Shmei Kedem. Like the Pasuk says, among other places, L'roche v'Shmei Shmei Kedem, which means the ancient heavens above everything else, as the Mitzvah David said, V'Shamayim V'Shamayim Ala Shamayim V'Shabar Mei Kedem. We're even above Aravos. We're going to the point of creation itself. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for even another level of mercy when all else fails. Like in Parshas Hazinu, when we seem to have no hope, the Midas Sadin, we should remain in Golis, and we said we want to invoke that special promise that was emerging at the time of Noah, Yisro Kinnas Noah, and was expressed to Noah in the form of the Shvua, whatever pasuk you better quote. And we say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, remember us, justify our existence. If nothing else, through that original will that there should be a world, we can justify the world, because without us, there's no hope for anything. And how does that emerge? What brings it out? After all, it's not a function of merit. So what is it exactly? I mean, what triggers it, as you will? What, where could it come from? And the answer lies in the next couple words of Yahweh Yahweh. The next few words say, Chus v'chanenu, rachim aleinu, v'hoshienu, three words. Ki eirecha einenu. Because our eyes are to you. What do those words represent? What idea? I think they represent a simple idea, but a profound idea. Eilacha Eilino means we're not too smart for ourselves. We simply surrender and acknowledge that there's no one but you. We are your creatures. We are your handiwork. You are the only source of our salvation. And that itself can bring out that mida, that measure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the attribute of the Rachamim Shnei Shmei Kedem. And this is an expression that you find many times how we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if, you might say, an animal looks at his master, its master, saying, you're providing my needs, that's all I know. My instinct is, I go to you. Just grace us, we know no one else but you. All eyes are to you, hoping in you, but you give them their indeed, the Yisro Kinnas Noach is actually expressed by the Medrash as the remembrance that Noach fed the animals. I mean, that the animals looking at Noach is the equivalent of us looking at a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth is that even for every animal, it'd be better to go to Kadosh Baruch Hu directly, which was the message of the Yonah. They came back and said, I'd rather get bitter olive branches from Hashem and not have to be fed nice sweet honey food from you, which is what I had for the last year, but go to the ultimate source, which is a Kadosh Baruch. Adu Behema Toshia Hashem, the pasuk that the Rebbe quoted for Yeshua. Why was that pasuk used? The Gemara in Chulin tells us Adu Behema Toshia Hashem is a way of saying that the real salvation can come when you have people who might be very sophisticated, but they're willing to you might say, suppress that intellect and just simply connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on an instinctive level, as if we could say, forget all my sophistication, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the answer. You can call that Emunah Pshuta, if you will. The Medrash in Me'ifa Rabbah says it in a different formulation, as you can see. Adam b'schus behema toshi Hashem, kai yisal tel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ka'adam anachnu, we're like people, but k'behema toshi'enu, save us like an animal. We are just drawn after you, like a magnet, like with instinct. That's the key elacha imenu, a certain way of just feeling viscerally that we have no one else to turn to simply put all that knowledge that sometimes gets in the way of connecting with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on a very simple, profound, basic level, and to feel the inspiration of Kadosh Baruch Hu's comfort. That is all that's necessary to allow, when all else fails, for there to be this midah, you might say, of Shnei Shnei Kedah, Yeshua V'Rachamim, that Hashem says, okay, I have no choice. I have to come in and step in and save you because you acknowledge me. And that alone counts for so much. I believe that's the secret of giving the midah of Yeshua V'Rachamim, basically screaming, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachamim V'Rachamim. It's a connection to a rachamim that transcends typical rachamim. It's just abish eno hagun, as it says in the Gemara, abish eno kudai. It's not based on merit, it's just based on a basic will on the Baruch Hu, as we call that the creation of the world. And so it goes back to a nida in the world that allows Hashem to give grace to those who just simply say, forget about everything else, I'm yours, the Baruch Hu, just take me in and I acknowledge you. There's a famous Ramban, I'll end with this, Ramban is in the Parsha's bow. Also very, very profound words. And he says, and I'll end with this quotation of the Ramban. He writes, the Kavanas Kolam Mitzvos, the purpose of all mitzvos that we do, Shenamin Belokeinu, to know that he loves Shehu Bra Adu, that we should trust Hashem, believe in him, and thank him for creating us. Vihi Kavanas HaYitzira, that is the purpose of all creation. There is no other reason for the original creation of the world. It is Hashem has, who's so exalted, has no desire what goes on here below. Milvad, except the person should acknowledge and recognize and thank Hashem for having created him. That's why we come together in Davin, as a minion, as a tzibor, and a rabbin, so we come in together with the power of the tzibor as a group, and we thank Hashem, the Yodu, Akel, Shabram, the Farsim Muzeh, we publicize the fact that you are ours, we acknowledge you, the Yomu, Akanecha, the Yosecha, Anachnu. We are your creatures. We are your creatures. That's what it comes down to. That is my mom, the Yeshua Barachanim, that's the Shnei Shnei Kedem, that's the reason why we go to Noach, and we use that as the lead pasuk of Zichronos, and this is what we think about every time we see a rainbow. That's the halacha of making bracha on a rainbow. I skipped over in the packet, you can look there, there's some variations of the language, whether it was a Shavua in a formal sense, whether it was just the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and either one would have been enough, but at the end of the day, there was the Yiskol to Miss Noah, and with that came a manifestation of that idea, and that Shavua, that promise serves us to live every day, essentially give us the strength to be able to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu always, and to always feel that guiding hand of the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Thank you very much to Rav Adler. We're going to be taking a 5-10 minute break, followed by Rav Rees.
Are you doing?
So unfortunately, got taken over. The third issue of that was got taken over by Cola Torres Television, which is a Paltuba Cola that would have they have a shared program within that that's taken over that mission, but it's completely different. I think we're sort of still on Tanagi.
I know. He could have something.
I believe you have my Bruce from the call last year. Asher Shandlerbrook is in your I was on Intercepted Call and he was doing the precinct that was going in the afternoon. So we were really fantastic.
All right.